How do we handle troublesome kids in the classroom? Does punishing them really teach them a lesson? How should you, the adult, react when you're faced with a troublesome kid? And how can we create a positive culture? Let's talk about it after I hit this music. Joining me this week is Annie Joy. She's a communications coach. Annie, thank you so much for coming on today.
You are welcome. I'm so excited to be here because while this is a heavy topic, it's an important one. So I'm grateful to be here.
I'm really curious, what is a communications coach?
So actually, I got a degree in psychology when I was a younger friend. And my goal was to become a therapist, to do marriage and family therapy. I studied all these things about family systems and about how to have a healthier family. And then I got married and had my son, who is autistic, and it just derailed all of my life plans. And as we've all had experience, right? We always think, oh, things are going to work out this way. And then we're on plan B, C, D. I joke that I'm on plan F at this point, that life is not how I thought it would be. But that's when I found life coaching. And as I started doing more life coaching, I do talk to people about confidence and some other topics. But the thing I'm most passionate about is about helping people to communicate better and teaching kids as well how to communicate. And so I got my certification a couple of years ago, and I've just been diving deep into everything I can get my hands on about conflict resolution and about communication. And 3 years ago, I started Kindness Camp, which is a camp for kids to learn about communication, but also how to be confident and how to handle your feelings, which is part of communicating. And we talk about inclusivity and how to accept other people's differences and how to serve other people. And it's been incredible to kind of help this younger generation to learn the things that we all wish we knew when we were younger. I'm also a mother of two, and so I am doing this on a regular basis with my own kids. So sometimes that is my greatest training is at home.
And you did tell me that you were a substitute teacher as well. How long did you do that for?
Yeah, and I'm subbing on Monday. Like I definitely still substitute teach, and it just kind of comes up as it comes up. And I like to do my kids' schools just so I can hang out with my kids. But I actually started substitute teaching. I think my first time was about 10 years ago, and I've just kind of done it off and on here and there as I've been able to make it work. When my kids are really little, it didn't work. And then as I've gotten older, they're 9 and 11 now. And so the past probably 3 or 4 years, I've done it more consistently since my divorce. And so I don't do it as much now, but I've been just pockets of time. I'm hopping in between going to, you know, do my own business and then working at the schools. But it's good because I'm interacting with kids and I'm noticing these interactions, and it's great for me, or even like content that I write, like, oh, I'm noticing these behaviors, I'm noticing these patterns, and I'm noticing my interactions with the kids. And so it's been great research to be a substitute teacher.
What grades do you teach?
As a substitute teacher, at least where I'm at, there's no specification of like what grades you have to do. I'll do kindergarten up to seniors.
Oh, wow.
I like to do third and fourth grade, fifth grade. I like doing high school. Junior high is a little tricky, but I'll do it. I don't mind the junior high kids. Like, I love that age, but just the timing doesn't always work with my kids' schedule.
Okay.
I can do any grade. Yeah.
So going into the subject of today is we get these kids who are deemed as the bullies. They like to cause, especially as a substitute teacher. I know when I was in school, when we would have a sub, it was like, hey, we can do whatever we want to this guy. You know, it was like sometimes the classroom was just chaotic, and I didn't participate in that. I just sat there and talked to my friend off to the side because we just didn't want part of that. But did you experience that when you were a teacher as a sub? You get those chaotic classes because you're the sub?
For sure. Yes. And The advantage I have as a sub is that, while at least in my school district, it's not required to have a teaching degree, you just have to have a bachelor's in something, and mine's in psychology. So you don't have to like know how to teach math necessarily or whatever, because you're kind of more there to just make sure that the teacher's lesson plan gets done and get the worksheets out and whatever. But the background that I have is that I worked in mental health for years. I was in lots of residential treatment centers and group homes and domestic violence shelters and lockdown facilities. So I have years of experience of working with kids who and teenagers who just have extreme behaviors. And so sometimes, and I'm not trying to minimize anybody else's experience, but like I'll go in there and the kids are kind of crazy and like up, you know, up all the out of their seats and doing stuff. But I'm like, this is nothing compared to kids trying to stab me with a shank they made, you know? And so it is definitely daunting when you've got 30 different kids in there and they're all raising hell.
Did that really happen? Did a kid try to stab? Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. They had took their glasses off and like were trying to use their glasses handle as a shank. And I just had to stand there and not let them see I was afraid and be like, okay, are you upset? Like, let's work this out. That was a tough place because it was a lockdown facility and lockdown facilities create lockdown behavior. It's a whole thing. Wow. That's a whole other topic we could get into, but
yeah.
But yeah, kids feel like, and feel like anybody, if you feel like you take their control away, they're going to act out more. And so that actually is a perfect to describe how we're treating kids in the classroom, because when we are taking away their control, they're going to push back on that. And when I'll talk to parents sometimes about things with their kiddos and you have, let's say you're pushing against, right? Like you push your hands against someone and they're pushing back. We're pushing, 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 pushing. But what happens when you stop pushing? They come towards you. So letting kids have some control over what they're doing, like giving them lots of choices, makes a big deal and makes a big difference, I should say. But then also just having that compassion for them, which we can dive into more. But as far as a substitute teacher, when I'm coming in, I know that I have like 2 minutes to like get their attention, get some kind of like rapport with them, because they don't know me. They don't know who I am. And so I err on the side of being really, really kind to them. Even if that means that the behaviors are maybe a little wilder than they would be like their regular teacher was there, I'm going to err on the side of like connecting with them, because that ends up in a better result by the end of the day. If I come in hot and heavy and I'm like, okay, teacher's not here, you better behave, and like if I'm coming in like attacking, the energy I show up with, they will tend to match it, especially the kids who are typically pretty well behaved. They're the ones who want to come help me. They're like, can I help pass out papers? And hey, this kid's doing something naughty. Can you, you know, intervene? Or, you know, like I just get a better result when I show up loving them. In fact, I'll even walk around, they're working on stuff, and just compliment them. Like, oh, I love your nails. Oh, your shirt is so cute. What a fun backpack. And I would love to have a deeper compliment that's more meaningful, but I don't know them. Yeah. So I'm just going to throw some nuggets wherever I can of like, hey, because I want them to know that I care about them and I see them. And even in a sub situation where they don't know who I am, I create pretty instant connection with kids because I just show up with my energy being loving and caring. And there definitely has been instances where a kid is quote unquote bullying. I have a hard time with that word. I know that it's real, but also it just creates an us versus them mentality. But so like a kid will come in, they'll say, oh, this kid was bullying and they have this issue on the playground, and they'll bring him in and the aide or the teacher or whatever is like yelling at that kid. Like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Go sit at the wall right now. And my heart just breaks because I'm like, this kid, especially at the elementary age, they're just mismanaging their pain. They've got stuff going on for them and they don't know how to communicate it. They don't know how to get their needs met. And so when we're yelling at them and we're belittling them and putting them down, and maybe we don't think we are, but saying things like, how old are you? Better act like it. Doesn't help anybody. And it's not helping them learn what behavior is appropriate. And so for me, what I think is so much more helpful is, here's the thing. Technically, my son is like bullying my daughter, right? Because he'll like hit her when he's mad, or he'll say mean things to her. And this last year, I've really shifted how I approach him. When he's having this big upset and doing mean behavior towards my daughter, I will sit down with him and get to his level and be like, oh, Bubba, what's going on? Are you okay? Like, what do you need right now? What did she do that made you so upset? And I set the temperature. I'm the one that's like, ooh, what's going on, friend? When I match his energy, it just becomes an explosion. And I've noticed a dramatic shift in him. He still has some of those behaviors, but they're not as often, and I can redirect him way faster.
Yeah.
And this is a kid with autism who has social delays galore, has communication delays galore, and I can still turn him around quicker when my energy comes in as I love this kid. So I just, my hope would be that, and I'm in the education system and in the parenting world, whatever it is, any interaction you have with the kiddo, if they're acting out and they're doing something really mean and yucky and it triggers you, I totally get it. But take a minute, take a breath, and then come to this kid and say, I see you are so upset. What's going on?
Do you stop that behavior right as they did it in front of the kids? Or do you give it a minute, pull them to the side, and then confront them? Like, how do you take care of it?
I would definitely take the audience away. And especially, okay, there are some kids, because the thing is, different kids have different reasons for acting the way they're doing, right? But everyone, we all do stuff for a reason. Even you and I, getting on this podcast today, we had a reason for that. Everyone has a reason for what they're doing. And so this kid had a reason. It could be attention. It could be mismanaging their pain. It could be they don't know anything else to do. But there is an audience piece, right? So if it happens in front of the class and they say something super rude, I would, in my opinion, say, okay, let's not do that and not get a ton of tension right then. It's like, oh, no, thank you. Moving on. And then pull that kid aside and say, hey, buddy, what's going on? And I know that's hard as a teacher. And I don't want to minimize how hard a teacher's job is, because I come in and I'll do some stuff and I'll leave. I'm not there day in and day out dealing with these behaviors. It's not the same as what teachers are dealing with. But I know what it's like to go in day after day after day in a treatment center with kids who are trying to stab people. And yeah, it's hard. It's hard to manage your own emotions. Because that's the key, is that when a child's behavior brings up an emotion in you, we have to be the adult and figure out our emotion about what they're doing.
I know for myself, I go out and do anti-bullying seminars. And every now and then I get the class clown. He's got to make a scene, he or she, but it's always been a boy, sadly. But
could be a girl,
he's
but
always,
in your experience,
always got to make a scene just to get the laugh. And I know I'm not the only one that experiences it. I mean, when I was in high school, we had that kid too. There's always that kid who's got to get his friends to laugh by picking on the teacher, making stupid comments about somebody. How do you manage that? Because if you tell him, no, thank you, is that really going to stop him from doing it again? Because he's got to, first of all, he's trying to impress his friends. So how do we get that kid to say, hey, this is not cool. This is not how we act as a fifth grader. And I say fifth grader because that's kind of the kids that I noticed that do it, is around that fifth or sixth grade from working with kids. So
yeah. Which would make sense, because developmentally, they're kind of stepping into the space of starting to learn who they are and separate from parents. Like, they're kind of entering those preteen years are when they're stepping into, who am I outside my family? Trying on personalities a little bit more. So they might be trying on the class clown of like, can I get a laugh from this? And so depending on the situation, it's kind of a, don't give it tons of attention when it's happening, because you're giving them attention for the thing you don't want them to do, right? So let's say they're being class clown, they're making these comments, blah, 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 blah. You're like, okay, anyway, like redirect it. And then you've got to have a sit down heart to heart away from the class peers to say, hey, I hear you really love the attention, and have a conversation with them. Because first of all, I don't think that we're going to be able to change a child's behavior overnight, especially if they've been doing it for a while, right? But it's more about looking at what need they're trying to get met, and can we meet that need in a different way? I just had one of my, sometimes I'll coach younger kids, and I have this sweet 8-year-old that I'm coaching right now, and she is darling, and I love her to bits. She was talking about how she says, I'm a naughty kid. I'm like, well, I don't believe in naughty kid, but tell me more. She's like, well, sometimes I blurt out the answer because I just want an answer. I'm like, okay, tell me more. So she's telling me about how she knows the answer and it really bugs her. Their teacher's not calling on her. Okay, tell me more. So I'm not trying to immediately solve the problem. I'm trying to understand where she's coming from. And as we dug a little deeper, and this is an 8-year-old, okay? We're diving into why this bugs her, why she can't do it. She admits to me that there's a part of her that wants the candy the teacher's offering to answer the question. I was like, oh, might not be best strategy, because then you've got kids who are fighting for the candy, right? But said, okay, I totally get it. So I dig in and I keep asking her to tell me more. I'm not placing any judgment or problem solving on her problem yet. I'm like, okay, tell me more. and she's talking about this experience. I'm like, okay. And I'm validating what her experience is, because I don't have to agree with someone to validate them. I'm validating what's true for them. That really bothers her. I'm like, oh man, I can understand that that really bugs you, because you're really smart and you know every answer and you want to answer so bad because you know it and you want that candy. Oh, bruh, I get it. Right? Like, you just relate to them and how they're feeling. And I said, okay. And because we have rapport pretty quickly, like right away, she was like, my mom said I don't have to come back, but I want to come back because I like you. I'm like, okay, great. Let's be best friends. So we had that rapport pretty quickly because of the energy I showed up with. And then because I have that rapport, I'm like, oh, sister, you know, I love that you are so smart. And I think you're incredible that you're so smart. And it sounds like it's kind of becoming an issue for you to blurt out the answer. It's like, yeah, I'm like, but that doesn't make you a naughty kid. Because guess what? Sometimes I speak out when I'm not supposed to, and I'm an old lady. So we all make mistakes, and that's okay. But how can we find a space for you to get your need met of showing that you know the answer? Because that's what you want. And maybe you want some candy. So maybe work it out with mom to have some kind of system that if you're doing the things mom asked you, that maybe you can get that treat, or, you know, talk about it with mom. That's a you and mom problem. But for class, could you just like write it down? That way you can show your brain, yeah, I'm so smart and I know this. And she was like, yeah, I could do that. I'm like, okay. So then I had her come back, and she said that the first day she didn't do it. She just couldn't stop yelling it out. I'm like, that's okay. It happens. She said, but then today I caught my words and I did not say it. And I was like, you got it, sister. I'm like, could you write it down? She's like, no, I was at the rug. Like, look at the problem solving you did. You didn't have paper, but you still caught the word in your mouth and you knew that you had the answer. It was so cool. Like, just in like one session, she's like, yeah, I can write it down. So we're problem solving once we understand the kid and we understand the need they are trying to get met.
Yeah, I teach martial arts for a living, and my listeners know that. Obviously, you don't probably. But I work with kids from 5 years old and up, and usually kids who blurt out answers, they're not being naughty. They're just so excited. They just want to make sure that, hey, I know the answer before everybody else knows. That's not a behavior issue. Well, I mean, we just got to teach the kids, remember, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Because, you know, I get like 10 kids all blurting out answers all the time. But it's sad that someone said she was naughty for that. Like, how did she find out that she was naughty for doing that?
They think they're a bad kid. Like, we have a lot of cultural things that kind of teach these behaviors are bad. So then kids kind of internalize, like, well, I'm a bad kid. And I tell all my kiddos I work with, I don't believe in bad kids. I don't think there's bad people. I think that we make choices and there's consequences for our choices, but we have things we do that maybe aren't helpful. I like to talk about things in helpful or hurtful, especially with kids, because they'll internalize, like, even if they're saying, oh, that's such a good job, it can start to kind of think of that as like, I'm better than, like, I'm so good at this. It's like, yeah, you are, you know, and everyone's good at what they're good at. So that's one of the things at my camp we talk about. This whole day is about accepting differences, which, I mean, I'm motivated by that because my son's different, right? But tolerating that other people are different and celebrating that it's okay to be different and where can you find common ground. But we talk about also, we have these things we're not good at. I tell the kids every summer, I'm like, I am terrible at directions, I'm terrible at math, and I'm terrible at technology. But guess what? I have a calculator for math, I have GPS for directions, and I have a brother for my technology. You just get support in the things you're not good at. We're not beating ourselves up for that. We're just, okay, we're not good at that. And I'll tell them, like, okay, I'm bad at these things. Does that make me a bad person? And immediately, all kids are like, no. Right? We don't think it makes other people bad, but we'll internalize, like, well, I'm bad. I'm a bad kid. I'm a naughty kid. I'm like, nope, you're just a regular kid. Just a regular kid who sometimes shouts out the answers and sometimes says mean things and sometimes does this. But guess what? We're all doing things sometimes that aren't very helpful. So let's just love ourselves anyway and work through it.
Hey, how do we change that culture? Getting away from bad kids versus good kids. Every kid is unique. This kid is a class clown because maybe he's going to be a comedian someday. We don't know. Yes, how do we teach kids the differences in each other?
Again, I'm not a teacher full time, so I can't say, oh, this is what every teacher should do, right? But I think that in any setting with children, whether it's a classroom at school, a classroom like in church, or maybe a Girl Scout troop, like if you're in charge of a group of children, I think that if you come in with your energy being clean and compassionate, that's going to set the tone. And then also, you kind of have to have the skill set to be able to be modeling those behaviors. Because when we meet kids with angry energy with their behavior, what are we teaching them? That it's okay to act angry when someone is doing something we don't like, right? So like when we're coming from a calm, compassionate place of like, hey, what's going on? And here's the thing too, is we can't make kids do anything. We can't make anybody do anything. We can invite and we can model and we can love and hope they meet us over there, right? But I mean, there's also like, yeah, zero tolerance policy for like being a mean kid. But I think that having the zero tolerance also says, hey, we're going to take a break right now. No, thank you. And like not get the attention. And maybe we have the kid removed for a hot second just to break up the interaction, right? But it's not sending them away like, I hate you. It's like, hey, we're going to take a beat just for a minute. And then I'm going to come and talk to you as soon as I have a second. And like, which you have to figure out within your school district, right? Because I don't know what your resources look like. But I think that if you come with the principles of managing your own thoughts and feelings and modeling for your kids what good communication skills are and modeling for them how we interact with each other. And if you don't totally know that, that's okay. There's lots. I mean, I would love to help you. There's lots of people who could help you. There's lots of resources. I know it's daunting as a teacher in any capacity, but those tools are available. And I think when you have the tools and you know the principles of like a good, clean communication, then you'll figure out the ideas to tweak it to your classroom and like what your kids' needs are. And maybe you do have conversations with some parents of like, hey, I'd love to have a sit down with you and your kiddo and talk through what are their needs? What are the things you guys use at home? But I think if we really can dig down to what is this kid trying to accomplish and how can I meet in a different way, is going to be a game changer.
Yeah. And sometimes I notice that you can do all that. And it's not that the kid's a bad kid. It's that the kid comes from a really bad home life. You see the parents are like, oh, now I get it. Now I know why he acts this way. And it makes it even tougher, even work with that kid. I don't know if that's the right word to say, work with that kid. But yeah, it makes it challenging because this kid's learning behaviors at home and you're at school trying to teach him, no, this is not correct. This is not the right way to do things. But you see his mom and dad do it all the time.
Exactly. You know, and that is
you're in a tough spot.
Right. As a teacher, you have a trickier position of you're not the parent, obviously. And you're battling what maybe is going on with the parents at home. I think, I don't remember where I saw this post, so I apologize whoever, and I'm not getting credit because I just don't remember, but he talked about one adult can change a kid's life. Even though parents might be tricky and have tricky home life, whatever, just knowing that you can make a difference in that kid's life because you're showing up in love and compassion towards them. I hear stories all the time from people. I just heard one this week. Someone was telling me about how they had a kiddo that was really difficult and they had the thought to say, you know, let's just reach out and love this kid. And even though it was difficult because that kid's, we're not trying to condone their behavior. We're not. And we're not saying it's okay. But meeting mean with mean doesn't solve anything. So when you meet mean with compassion, it starts to shift their energy, especially at a young age. Because she told me the story about she had her son. I'm like, hey, let's go. We're going to serve this kiddo and we're going to just love on him. And this kid would like say hi to him, you know, and give him compliments and would do these kind things for him. And pretty quickly that kid turned around and was like really kind and like sticking up for that kid. I think we underestimate how incredible the power of compassion is.
Yeah.
And when we start meeting people with compassion, the energy shift is incredible. I truly believe that we are made of love and we're made to love. And when we have these judgments or opinions and things we're putting on people, then it's like the monkey in the trap, right? Like you're holding on to, well, I'm right about this opinion of them. Well, what if you just let go of your opinions of them? Then you're free to just love them where they're at. And I know people get stuck on, well, I don't want to not give them consequences for their behaviors. Sure. But can you give it from a place of like, oh man, we have this agreement and you didn't keep up the end of the agreement. So this is what's going to have to happen. But no problem. I love you. And we could try again next time.
I think the biggest point you did make, though, is taking that time out for yourself and for that child, because that gives you both time to kind of cool down a bit. And of course, this also depends on your school district's policy. Maybe you're not allowed to do that. Right. But if there was a policy where like, hey, you're going to go sit in the library for like 10 minutes, I'll meet you there, you know, when I'm done with this or whatever, if there is that possibility. But if you can get that kid to sit down and think about it, what they've done, and you can meet that kid 10 minutes later when you're cooled down, you can actually have more meaningful conversations with the kid and connect a lot better than just saying, hey, Johnny, stop doing that. And you're right. It's not making it any better. But the timeout is a great idea.
Really, because here's the thing. None of us are thinking logically when we're emotional. And if you're having emotions and they're having emotions, nothing good is happening right now. So it's like, oh, and here's the thing too. If you just start setting up that's the agreement in your classroom, I like the word agreement better than expectation, because expectation can be placed on someone and agreement.
It sounds harsher. Sounds harsher too.
It does, right? So it's like, hey, we have agreements in our classroom and here are some of our agreements. And if those agreements aren't met, then we just have to have these things happen to help us come back to the agreement, right? So it's like maybe the understanding is, hey, if we have people saying unkind words or maybe like hurtful words, then they're going to go take a breather in the hallway. No problem. Like, don't make it sound like a punishment. Hey, we're going to take a breather in the hallway. No problem. I'll meet you in 10. And then you have a second to breathe and bring your nervous system back down. And then, hey, Bubba, sounds like you're having a really hard time. Tell me more. If we're focusing on the connecting, then that's going to be a game changer. And there's so much research and books and all the things. Like, this is not new, right? There's so much power in connecting with a kid and connecting with a person. I think sometimes I forget. They're little people. And even if they don't have the same brain development that I do, they're still people and they need to be cared about. Everyone needs to be heard and loved and accepted. Like, we all have these deep needs trying to be met. And maybe they don't know what needs they're trying to get met. So you might have to suggest some things. Like maybe let's say a kid is acting out and you're like, oh, friend, we're going to go take a little breather. Meet you in 10, you know? And then you go out and you sit with them and you're like, okay, bud, what's going on? And honestly, I wouldn't even maybe say to them, like, what need are you trying to get met? Because they probably don't know. But if it's like, hey, what's going on with you? And just start exploring more about what they're saying. I think it will give you more clues for you to kind of pick up on, like, oh, you really want attention. Totally get that. Yeah. There's some other ways we could help you feel like you're getting attention.
When you're trying to connect with kids, is make sure you get down to their eye level, because nobody wants someone standing over you looking down at them. That's not a comfortable feeling to have, especially as a kid. Annie, I love everything that you said, and you gave me a lot of great ideas on how to handle the kids that we deemed as bullies. And really, they're struggling themselves, even though they're trying to put on this persona that they're the tough kid, but they're not. They're probably in a lot worse spot than the kid that they're picking on. If people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is anniejoy.com and my email is hello@anniejoy.com. Also, if you want to follow along the content that I share about dealing with feelings with kids and all the things, my Instagram is anniejoy.speaks. So come hang out. I would love to help in any way that I can.
Annie, thanks so much for coming on today.
And for myself, you can always find us at our very own website, which is www.breakingbullying.com. You can also reach out to us at our email address if you have a story of your own bullying to share, or for whatever reason you want to get a hold of us. Our email address is breakbullyinghere@gmail.com. Now, if you're a victim of bullying and you don't know where to turn, there is online resources to help you. The first is the government's very own anti-bullying website, and the address is www.stopbullying.gov. And other online resource is www.pacer.org/bullying. Now, if you have had thoughts of suicide or of self-harm, we implore you to stop. Reach out to the National Suicide Hotline. That number is very simple. It's 988. I'm Tim Flynn, and thank you for listening. And we will be back next week to continue the conversation to break the silence on bullying.